everybody, and welcome back to the USS Zion Star Trek Rebellion podcast. We will continue introducing you to the characters on our ship with part two of our first chapter, Zion Cometh. If you would like to join our writing team, please visit our website at www.usszion.com. Also, please help us promote our ship and our podcast by voting for the USS Zion podcast on podcastalley.com. And now, part two of Zion Cometh. Read by Craig, Dave, and Becky. John sat quietly in the back of Quark's. He watched as many people lost large amounts of latinum at the Dabo tables. It was clearly going to be a good night for the house. A Ferengi strode throughout the bar with a large smile on his face. John could only assume that this was Quark, the owner of the bar. John's attention turned to the entrance, where a very beautiful woman had walked in. He watched as she visited with the happy Ferengi who pointed her in John's direction. The woman walked over to John's table and sat down. "Hello, I am Miranda," she said. "Hello, Miranda, I am John Wright. I understand that you are looking for a job." "Nice to meet you, John Wright. I understand that you have an opening for a lounge manager on your fancy new starship," she said playfully. John smiled. "Well, we do have a lounge, and we are without a manager for that lounge. But I'm curious. Why would you want to tend bar on a warship? Certainly there are safer jobs for you." "I am an Elorian, Commander. I enjoy traveling and expanding my experience," she replied. "You could rent a shuttle and travel, Miranda. Why my starship?" he asked. "Because it is new and I like new things, Commander," she laughed. "The truth be told, I have a friend in the Maquis aboard the USS Atlanta. He intrigued me so much that I thought perhaps I would like to spend more time with you space warriors. I am also hoping to run into him again, too." "Well, you must be some friend," replied John. "Indeed," she said. "So, do I have the job?" "When do you want to start?" replied John. "The sooner the better. I have no luggage and I am ready to go," she replied eagerly. Together, they walked out onto the promenade. "So, does your lounge have a name, Commander?" she asked. "Yes, it does. It's called Miranda's," he said with a smile. Wright tapped his comm badge. "Wright to Zion. Two to beam out."
John walked into the captain's ready room and stood across from him. "Good morning, sir. How was your first night aboard the Zion?" he asked. "Very good. The accommodations are very nice for a warship," replied Hunter. "I'm happy to report that all officers have been moved to their quarters. Operations is moving ahead of schedule and tell me that they will have everyone aboard by this evening." "Impressive. Well done," said Captain Hunter with a nod of approval. "We have also received a rather unusual transfer request from Kaltuk." John handed a pad to the captain. "A Lieutenant Charles Atwood. He is currently the chief engineer on the station." "I see," the captain said, studying the pad. "Mr. Atwood wishes to work intel," replied Hunter. "Yes, sir, that is his request," replied John. "Do you feel he has the credentials to perform that duty adequately?" asked Hunter. "I find he has the credentials of an engineer. However, my gut feeling tells me that Lieutenant Atwood might just surprise us. That, coupled with the fact that we are short-handed in the intel department, makes me think that we should give him a shot," said John. The captain smiled lightly as he continued reading the report. "And he's bringing his fiancée as security officer? That's advantageous as well, Number One. Rianne has accepted the ops officer's position." He handed the pad back to Wright. "You've done an outstanding job so far, Commander Wright. I will trust your instincts on this and let you make the call," he said. "One final issue. I have received a request from a civilian to join our crew as lounge manager. Her name is Miranda, and she is aware of the risk of serving on board a ship at war. She is already on the Zion setting up the lounge," said John. "Sounds reasonable to me," nodded Hunter. "The crew could use that type of service." "I agree. I'll have to introduce you to her when we tour the ship," said John. "What do you say we tour the ship at $1,300 today?" asked Hunter. "Sounds good to me," said John. "Let's take the Zion out of space dock the day after tomorrow at $1,400. We'll orbit Bajor for 12. During this time, the crew should familiarize themselves with their duties. We'll return to Kaltuk for final preparation and await the Kitty Hawk. I'd like to depart promptly for a shakedown at 0900 hours on Stardate 58203.1, said Hunter. Dismissed. Ensign Forrester watched as Atwood and Jarvis materialized on the transporter pad. She stepped forward and greeted them both with handshakes. "Welcome aboard. My name is Kelly Forrester. I'm here to assist you with getting settled in." "Thanks, Ensign. I'm Charles Atwood, and this is Melissa Jarvis," said Charles with a smile. "I understand you two are engaged," asked Forrester with a nod. "You're right," said Charles as he took Melissa's hand and held it for a while. "That's wonderful. I've arranged for you two to have adjacent quarters, which I think you'll find to your liking. If you follow me, I will take you there. Your things will be beamed directly to your quarters." She led the pair out of the transporter room and onto the turbolift. "Deck 6," she instructed the computer. "Most of the officers' quarters are located on Deck 6. They have a little better accommodations than the enlisted crew's quarters on Deck 9. After the turbolift door is open, they walked down the corridor a ways, and then right down another. They entered the first quarter. "This will be your room, Melissa. Make yourself comfortable." "Wow, this is better than the one I had on Call Tuck," Melissa said. Forrester smiled and nodded at Atwood, who followed her out the door to the next one. As they entered Charles' quarters, his belongings materialized in the center of his room. Forrester smiled. "Looks like your things have arrived." She turned back to Atwood and said, "The captain would like to visit with you at 1100 hours. Meanwhile, make yourself at home. Do you need anything else, sir?" "No, Ensign, that will be all, and thanks." "One more thing, please. Notify the captain I will be in his office at 11, as he requested," he said, trying not to sound formal. "Yes, sir," said Ensign Forrester. She turned and left him to unpack.
Padia paced slowly in front of the observation deck, looking out at her new assignment. As she gazed at the ship, she felt waves of emotions emanating from its crew. There was the raw edge of fear of the unknown coming from the new recruits. Intermingled with the fear was enthusiasm, pride, and in some instances, a euphoria of sorts. Frightening to her was a dark shadow that seemed to cross the ship. She couldn't pinpoint where it was coming from, other than it was from the crew already on board. She shivered slightly as she turned away from the view. "Well, Padia," she said to herself, "this is what you trained for all these years. All of the education and the initial duty station on the transporter have brought you to your lifelong goal. As of today, you are a counselor for a Sovereign-class starship. Michelio is so proud of you. Now you need to trust in your own abilities. You have the background, you have the knowledge, and you have the skills. Believe in your ability to use them." She turned back to the observation deck, tapped her communicator. "Zoe to Zion, 1 to beam up." "Welcome aboard," greeted a female officer in a gold uniform. "I'm Ensign Forrester. I'll assist you in getting settled in." "Thank you, Ensign Forrester," replied Zoe. "I am Ensign Zoe. I appreciate you meeting me at this late hour. The transport ship I came in on ran into a little trouble, and we were delayed by about half a day." "Your things will be beamed to your quarters. I'll show you to your office, and then to your quarters," Forrester said, as they walked out the door and headed towards the turbo lift. "Again, thank you for the assistance. I was afraid no one would be up at this late hour," said Zoe. "Deck 8," said Forrester, as the turbo lift door closed. "How was your flight here?" asked Forrester, making small talk. "Other than the delay last evening, the flight was uneventful." "How many more crew members are we waiting for prior to departure? And how was the christening of the ship? I was disappointed my flight didn't make it in time to see that," replied Zoe. "That is a shame," replied Forrester. "I'm sure you can retrieve it from the video archives. It was a nice ceremony." They entered the spacious counselor's office. It was divided into three areas: a comfortably furnished waiting area, a large private conversation room furnished with a variety of fixtures, tables, sofas, and other chairs. This room was suitable for meeting with a group, an individual, or conferencing. Last, there was the counselor's office. Both rooms had starboard viewing portals. They entered the office and walked over to the console. "The ship's counselor, of course, has privileged information about all members of this crew," said Forrester, smiling. "Computer, transfer authorization and access to Ensign Padia Zoe. Authorization, Forrester. Alpha, Echo, 1-1, Alpha." The computer chimed back. "Transfer accepted." "Do you have any questions?" asked Forrester. "Not at this time," answered Zoe. I am sure the questions will come, but I would like the chance to familiarize myself with this area in the morning. I do not want to keep you any longer tonight, though." Forrester smiled politely. "Thank you. I'll show you to your quarters." Returning to the turbo lift, they headed to Deck 2. "Since you are considered bridge crew, your quarters are located on Deck 2." They entered the quarters. Zoe's belongings were already sitting in the center of the room. "Your quarters are equipped with a Type 2 replicator suitable for beverages, snacks, and small meals. Go ahead and get settled in. If you need anything else, just let me know." "I will be fine. Thank you again for your time this evening. Rest well." Forrester bid Zoe good night and left her to unpack. Zoe watched the door close behind Forrester with a gentle swoosh. She crossed to the replicator. 2 peanut butter cookies, warm, and a raspberry iced tea with 2 fresh raspberries. Zoe carried her evening snack to her sitting area. She pulled the family picture from her traveling bag and set it on the end table. Her fingers whispered across the glass, covering the faces of her mother, her father, and her brother. She leaned her head against the back of the chair. Her last conscious thought was she should get unpacked, but it could wait until the morning. Patty awoke slowly, stretching. She blinked rapidly, taking in her surroundings. She laughed softly as she realized she was still in last night's traveling clothes and was resting in the chair she had settled in for her evening snack. Patty stood and surveyed the room. Her bags were still in the corner. She reached for the smallest valise, intent on making her new quarters truly her home. Patty pulled several framed pictures out first. She scattered pictures of family vacations throughout her quarters. Everywhere she looked, she could catch a glimpse of her parents or her brother. She set aside graduation photos and her diplomas to bring to her office with her this morning. Finally, she withdrew a small picture frame. She placed it on her nightstand, stepped back and smiled. The picture was of a tiny girl, maybe 6 or 7, perched on a teenage boy's shoulders. He was dressed for his graduation. His head was tilted to smile up at her, her head tilted back in the perfect echo of his actions. Patty straightened the frame, smiled again, and turned back to the task of unpacking her cases. The rest of the unpacking went smoothly and quickly. Clothing was put away neatly and efficiently. Patty looked around her quarters. She was content to see the beginning of home appearing. Patty glanced at the clock. Her morning meeting with Captain Hunter was rapidly approaching. She prepared herself for the day. A final glance at the picture on her nightstand, and she was ready. She walked briskly toward the doors, heard the soft swoosh of their opening, and entered the corridor. Patty walked toward the bridge and the captain's ready room. The captain tapped his comm badge and requested Counselor Zoe to join him in his ready room. As she arrived, the captain greeted her with a handshake and gestured for her to have a seat. "How are you this morning?" "I am doing well, thank you, Captain. And yourself?" "You probably already know that answer, Counselor," Hunter said with a smile. "Are you getting things settled in well and find your accommodations suitable?" asked Hunter. "My accommodations are more than suitable, and I am settled in. Thank you for asking." "Very good," Captain Hunter handed Zoe a pad with notes on it. "I have something urgent I would like resolved, and I must say it is most advantageous having a Beta Zed on board serving in your capacity. We have an individual who claims she is not adapting well to her crew members. She has a less than desirable background. Frankly, I have concerns about her assignment and security. I think her aggression makes her vulnerable in that position. Furthermore, she has requested a transfer to Ops." Hunter paused a moment. "I'm inclined to grant the transfer because we could use the help there. However, I'm concerned about her stability and abilities. I need you to make an assessment and advise me on this matter." "I will plan on meeting with her this morning. If I do not see her by 1200 hours, I will request she come to my office. You can expect my report by 1500 hours today, sir." "Very good. Carry on, Counselor."
That's all for this podcast. We hope that you're enjoying our story. Our next podcast will finish the first chapter, Zion Cometh, and set the stage for the Zion's Shakedown Voyage. Please visit our website to learn more about the Zion and her crew at www.usszion.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.